mics are hot. Callahan and Torty here this week in pro football. Hour number two. 97.5 The Fanatic on Ash Football League. We're at 610-632-0975. Joey T, we'll get back to that. I got some interesting stats, too, I want to hit you with. It's kind of a corollary to the whole quarterback thing. It deals with the number of sacks and how, you know, just picture any NFL game in your mind and how the quarterback, more often than not, is running for his life after about 1.5 seconds. So I want to touch on a couple things there. But how about instead we bring on our one of our anchors here to talk about this weekend's Eagles matchup, former Eagle linebacker Gary Cobb, will also co-host the Fox 29 Eagles pregame live and the G. Cobb Birds Report weekly podcast presented exclusively by Parks Casino and Sportsbook, backed by the number one casino in PA. Must be 21. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Good morning, Gary Cobb.
How you doing there, Pat and Joe? How you guys doing this morning?
We're doing all right. We're doing all right. And let's hit the ground running here, Gary, because this is the start of a six-game crucible, but it's a fascinating game, really. And I want to start you with this, Gary. Tim McManus, my old pal here on ESPN.com, quoted Eagle linebacker Zach Brown and not being very complimentary about Kirk Cousins. He says, quote, "For me, that's probably the weakest part of their offense is him." Well, that's pretty subtle. Everything else is good. They got a good running game. They have good receivers. You just want them to pass the ball. You want Kirk Cousins to got it in his hands. First off, what are your thoughts about Zach even being quoted as that? And secondly, how correct is he?
I mean, the thing is, how could you say something like that? I mean, you know, the thing about it is, I can understand him feeling that way, and he might have told some of the guys on the team. But you don't say that. I mean, you really give him, you put him in a position where, I mean, he's got to be motivated. If Kirk Cousins is not motivated to shut Zach Brown up, then there's something wrong with him. So, you know, this gives him more motivation. You don't give guys motivation. You know, basically, hey, you tell them what, you know, give them the answer that everybody gives. You know, hey, he's a good quarterback, blah, 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 you know. But for him to do that, you know, I think there's some truth to it because Cousins, I mean, he does not play well against good teams. He makes mistakes at the wrong time, and he needs to get his act together because he hasn't been playing well this year except for, like, maybe the last game. So I can understand where he could say that, and there's a lot of truth to it. But I don't see why, you know, Zach Brown has got to step out and say that because that really has to motivate as if the Vikings need more motivation. But you tend you don't say things like that before the game, though. I don't think it's wise.
Gary, the Eagles have been excellent thus far this season in terms of shutting down featured backs. How have they been able to be so successful in terms of not allowing the number one guy on the other team's rushing attack to beat you?
Well, I think this is something that, when you look at the Eagles' defensive ends, I think they play a key role because they don't have the best pass rushing defensive ends. When you look at Brandon Graham, he is a good pass rusher, and the same thing with Derek Barnett. But they play the entire game, meaning they play the run. They probably play the run as well as any defensive end in the league because they get off blocks and they don't fly upfield. Now, Dalvin Cook is a great when it comes to they run this outside zone play. And the key to the outside zone is somebody is going to get out of their lane. You know, they get the guys moving. They get the defensive line moving. And one guy will penetrate, and he'll open up the hole. And so if you got defensive ends that fly upfield, you know, thinking about rushing the passer, they're opening up a gap. And so the Eagles don't do that. Their defensive ends don't fly upfield. They don't have that lightning speed. Both Derek Barnett and Brandon Graham are very good at getting off blocks. They will engage the blocker, and they're very quick to get off blocks. So I think they're going to do a good job against that running game of the Vikings because I think it's a good matchup for the Eagles. So that's going to be a key to the game because Dalvin Cook really is the key to their offense. Once he gets going, and he's dynamic. I mean, he's got that type of speed where in one step he's at full speed. And he's got good size to be as fast as he is. And, you know, I really see now why everybody was so excited about him, you know, for a couple years while he was banged up. But now, you see, he's a special back. So the key is going to be stopping him. If they stop him, then everything is on Kirk Cousins. And, you know, I'm not crazy about the matchup with the receivers either. So they got to get after Kurt as well.
Gary, you're a veteran NFL player, played with three different teams, and did a lot of road trips, I'm sure. Give me your thoughts as a player about a three-game road trip. Is that something that eventually does perhaps wear a player down a little bit? How does a player prepare for that in week one to say, I'm going to be on the road for 3 weeks in a row?
Well, the big thing is the focus, you know, when you've got veteran players, especially and players that have played in big games in front of, you know, away from home, because one of the things that's going to be a factor is the noise up in Minnesota. That's going to be a key with the Eagles offense, because it's going to be harder to communicate. And so if Carson Wentz wants to change the play at the line of scrimmage, it's going to be more difficult. And sometimes his receivers might not get the call, or you might have an offensive lineman that's jumping offside. So that's a problem. That noise is going to be a factor. But I think that the Eagles are going to be fine with the, you know, with playing three games away, because they've been through all of this. You know, these guys have been seasoned, and I think they're very professional. They got a very mature group beyond their years, and I think they're going to be able to deal with this fine, especially if they can get off to a good start. And that means, you know, scoring early against the Vikings to quiet that crowd some, because if that crowd gets going, that's going to be the big factor. It's all that noise, and I know it's noisy there. It's not noisy down in Dallas, but it's going to be noisy in Buffalo, too. So the noise is probably a bigger factor than playing away from home, because you can't communicate.
Speaking with Gary Cobb, of course, right here on This Week in Pro Football. The Eagles put out their inactives list, G. Cobb, and it seems like it might have been shorter for them to just read off the list of everybody who is playing for them rather than their inactives. They continue to get banged up, and there seems to be help on the horizon, but certainly not this week. How big of a factor do you see the injuries, say, to like Corey Clement and other people like that playing in this game?
It's going to definitely play a role, no doubt about it. I mean, they would love to be able to put Corey Clement in there and get him matched up against the Vikings linebackers. Miles Sanders is going to have to play that role, and he's been doing a pretty good job with it. But Corey, you know, hey, look at the game he had up there, you know, a couple years ago in the Super Bowl. He could have that kind of, if he was healthy, he could have that kind of game tomorrow, because the matchup with him against Anthony Barr and Eric Kendricks, that's going to be a key to the Eagles' passing game, because the Vikings, they believe that their linebackers can cover anybody, even though they can't. And the thing you do is you spread them out and you attack those linebackers in pass coverage. And for some reason, Mike Zimmer, he's just been stubborn. He keeps those guys out there, even though he'll have a matchup against the wide receiver. So I expect the Eagles tomorrow, Miles Sanders with a big day catching the ball out of the backfield. That's what I expect against those linebackers. And that's going to be a key to the Eagles game, because they don't have everybody healthy. They don't have Deshaun. They're going to need other people to step up. And it's going to be the tight ends and the backs taking advantage of the Minnesota's linebackers. They're going to need a big game out of all those guys. And that'll be the key, because you have, you know, you don't have Deshaun, and he's a big part of your passing game.
All right, Gary Cobb, tell me, Kirk Cousins, he is 5-3 lifetime against the Eagles with a career-high 17 TD passes, only 5 interceptions, quarterback rating of 101. Is that just coincidence, or are there, in fact, instances in this league where one player just seems to match up well against a specific team?
Well, I definitely think, you know, players match up well against specific teams, and I think that, you know, we've had problems in our secondary, as we have right now. I mean, we've got some very inexperienced people back there. And I think it's a combination of things. And I think that he got off to a good start playing against the Eagles. And he had some good people that were playing with him back then. I mean, because, you know, he had Deshaun, I think, some of that time. But I think it's just a matter of, you know, getting off to a good start. If you do that, I think good things happen. And Kirk Cousins is the kind that he is a complimentary quarterback. And the Redskins had a good running game, just like he's got a good running game now. And he's great at play-action passes. And we're going to see a lot of that tomorrow, where he's going to fake the ball to Dalvin Cook. So if they get the running game going, then the Eagles are going to have to honor that fake. And then he's able to get the ball to his receivers because he's throwing to wide-open guys. He doesn't have anybody in his face. And that's the way he plays his best football. So if the Vikings get their running game going, you're going to see play-action pass, and Kirk Cousins is probably going to have a good day against the Eagles.
Gary, great stuff as always. We'll be watching out for you on Fox 29 Eagles pregame live, and of course your podcast, the G-Cobb Birds Report. So thanks so much for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.
Hey, I appreciate it, and make sure everybody checks out that podcast, and check me out on Fox 29 as well, and go Birds!
All right,
there you go.
Thanks very much. The G-Cobb Birds Report weekly podcast presented exclusively by Parks Casino and Sportsbook, backed by the number one casino in PA. How about that? Kirk Cousins, your complimentary $29 million quarterback. I don't know, man. I don't know. We're at 610-632-0975. It's a big game tomorrow. It's a fascinating game. You tend to talk too much about when the Vikings have the ball. We don't talk as much about when the Eagles have the ball.
Right.
But I still think there's nothing wrong with a consistent dose of Jordan Howard here and get those linebackers closer to the line of scrimmage so that you can do something 8 to 10 yards downfield.
The amazing thing about Jordan Howard in this offense is that he gets just zero benefit of the doubt whatsoever from the coaching staff, right? Like Miles Sanders and Darren Sproles in particular are two guys who have just been given every opportunity to succeed. And all of the snaps, all of the chances, Jordan Howard has had to scratch and claw and fight for literally everything that he's gotten from the Eagles coaching staff in terms of running back reps. So now that he's finally had, I'm going to call the Packers game the Jordan Howard game, kind of a coming out party. It seems like that's his backfield for the foreseeable future. Now we'll see if they're able to commit. If they get pass happy in this game, I really don't like the Eagles
chances. I agree with you wholeheartedly. Don't do it. No 50 passes a game. Just don't do it. And I think they'll be competitive. And that's when I trust the Eagles' ability to play well in big, in crunch time situations. I think it's well documented. I think if they keep it close, they'll beat Cousins out. So that's an interesting game. Now, let me segue back here, Joe. By the way, we're at 610-632-0975 here on This Week in Pro Football. Now, we were talking about quarterbacks and how many of them might be overpaid, but this corollary here I'm talking about, offensive lines, Joe. In 2017, there were 1,195 sacks in the league, right? In 2018, it went to 1,348. That's a 12% jump in sacks. This year, they're on a pace for about 1,300. So my question to you is, can you chalk all that up to the way the game is played now, the fact there's just so many more passes being attempted? Or is there a qualitative problem with offensive lines? Doesn't it seem to you like we read every week that these guys are banged up, they're not playing, and there's always seem every team in the league has two guys missing on the offensive line? Is there just a shortage of quality offensive linemen?
It seems like that is the case, right? It seems like it's getting more and more difficult to find these guys coming out of college, and then you couple it with, I can't speak for last year, but this year, the emphasis on the backside holding call, where you're not seeing a whole lot of these freaks. I've always thought the defensive ends were the freakiest players on the field get blocked. It's hard to slow those guys down now legally, so you're seeing that as well. Plus, there's so many, we talk about this all the time, we call it the Sean McVay clones, right? There's so many people out there that want to show everybody how smart they are with their complex, deep passing game, and you're asking these quarterbacks to take 5 and 7 step drops, and sometimes they're sitting ducks back there, not being able to move the pocket, not being able to slide protections because of that dearth of quality offensive linemen. You're seeing guys get banged up, and part of it is scheme, part of it is players, and then part of it is, like you said, just the way that the game is being played nowadays.
Well, it certainly is. I think a lot of it is the way the game is being played, but I do believe the league, if the league's going to play this kind of flag football, they're going to need to provide some offensive linemen, because offensive holding is still the number one penalty call by far. Can't read my, man, I have to wear these bifocals. Offensive holding, 276 calls so far this year. The next, what do you think the next most common penalty is, Joe?
Offensive holding's number one. Let's say illegal contact.
False start. Oh, false start is next.
Oh, so it's two offensive line.
Yeah, that's okay, right. Great. Now you're right. That's another one. That's another offensive line one. So I think the league has an issue with this, you know, and it doesn't it relate directly, Joe, to it, the fact that there's almost, we're here 6 weeks into the season and 50 guys have already played quarterback in the NFL for the 32 teams, you know, because these guys are getting hurt, and Mahomes is clearly has a sprained ankle, and God forbid for the Chiefs if he goes down.
Right.
So quarterbacks, they're either already hurt and not playing, or they're already banged up, and you got to keep a close eye on them. I think the league, I don't know how many Gardner Minshew, Kyle Allen games the league can sustain.
Well, it's the truth. That is not what you want on the primetime matchup. Now, you can't always predict it, right? You got one of the premier sack avoiders in the NFL and Ben Roethlisberger out of the game, and now you've got guys in there who are not Ben Roethlisberger trying to avoid sacks, and therefore they're getting sacked. Andy Dalton's always been a sack machine. Joe Flacco's always been a sack machine. Derek Carr's always been. You've seen a lot of these guys. Truth be told, and I don't mean to poke fun at the guy, I'm surprised that the sack numbers are so high now that Andrew Luck's out of the league, because that's another guy who's always getting crushed all the time. So, like, you look at it, and part of it is the league has to, unless you want Gardner Minshew against Kyle Allen in primetime, you've got to find some way to clean it up a little bit, because player safety doesn't seem to be extending to the quarterbacks anymore.
No, that's true. It is not. And, yet, meanwhile, if a defensive lineman brushes a quarterback's helmet while he goes by trying to knock a pass down, he gets a 15-yard penalty.
Yeah, that Dak one was really bad. The one in the Baltimore game was really bad, where Lamar Jackson was kind of doing the jump throw and getting hit in the thighs.
Yeah.
There's some bad roughing the passer calls, but, I mean, the real thing is to just let the protectors protect, right? Like, that's the way to actually ensure quarterback player safety, is let the offensive linemen do what they're supposed to be doing.
You mentioned the backside holding, and they wanted to eliminate that. I think you're seeing less of it week to week, but at the same time, as yours pointed out, when you see less backside holding calls, that's because you're seeing more the defensive lineman roaring by the left tackle on his way to crushing whoever is unfortunate enough to be back there. So, now you talk about the league wanting to add a 17th game, and they're like, well, you got to fit all these puzzle pieces together here. And the league's got to do something to further protect or further build up their offensive line.
Well, and maybe it's just the conspiracy theorist in me, but I don't like the control that the league has extended so far in other arenas, right? People talking about how great it is that pass interference, offensive and defense, can be challenged nowadays. Since week three, the league collectively is 1-for-21 in pass interference challenges, right? That's something that you put directly in the hands of Al Riveron and in the hands of the NFL. It's not working out great. I don't know that I want the NFL to say, all right, we're going to do a 17th game and we're going to take care of all the particulars. Don't you worry about that. I don't know if they've earned that at this point.
We're live at the fabulous Parks Casino Sportsbook here. The wheel is spinning, Joey T.
Yes. What, is it? Oh, no, the wheel's on the floor.
What happened to the wheel?
Is the wheel done? Is there nothing left?
Where's the wheel?
Oh, okay, we got trivia questions now. They're trying to steal your trivia game over across the way.
My whole segment is gone.
Wow.
This guy's now co-opting
it.
My trivia segment.
Wow.
God almighty, how about that?
So, in any rate, you can walk past the wheelless table right to the leather recliners and take in literally everything. My wandering eye is just all over the place. I'm watching UFC stuff. I'm watching Premier League soccer. You got College Game Day, MLB Network. There's all kinds of stuff here at the Parks Casino.
I'm reminded of this, looking at this screen, Penn State playing Iowa tonight.
Yes.
I met a guy, I hope I get this name right, Steve. Steve Morreale, I think he's a COO with a company where my younger brother works. And he's a Penn State guy, but I got past that, still talked to him.
Okay, you made it through. Okay.
Yeah, but apparently he's going to the game, right? I said, but when are you leaving? Friday, this was Thursday night. When are you leaving? Friday night. He says, we're leaving Saturday. I said, when are you coming back? He said, we're coming back Saturday night. I said, you're commuting to Iowa. And that's what they're doing. One of his buddies and one of these Penn State fanatics has access to a plane. They're jumping on it. They're flying out, watching the game, then coming back around midnight.
Oh, yeah. Zuli's living it up right now at the Penn State fight song.
Oh, jeez.
You know what that means? We got to take this show on the road. We got
to
team up with some people
that
have
Ames, Iowa.
Have access to some to some jets and stuff. I've always thought about that, Pat. I was like, you know, it's preposterous that we fly commercial anymore. I wonder how much it is to fly private. And then you look, you're like, oh, okay, well, coach sounds great.
Yeah, that's it. No, that is correct. You know, it's funny. I'll be anxious when we get to the NFL preview later on, Joe. Some interesting games this week. And some, like, this Eagles game is a division game, yet. And I keep talking about how it's so wide open in the NFC. You got to be careful about losing these conference. I should say conference games. Yeah. You got to be careful. You know, and you have a couple other ones. The Rams and 49ers are playing, which is a, you know, again, it's a conference game.
Rams should win that one by 50, right?
Yeah, right.
Because the 49ers stink, is what we were talking about last week.
And you got Detroit and Green Bay.
That's going to be a good one.
Big too. Monday night game. You know, all of a sudden the Lions, who everybody was, yeah, we all joke about the Lions. You know, it's funny. There's only, I wrote this down here somewhere, Bags. There's only four teams. There's four NFC teams, Joe, with no conference game appearances in the 2000s. Four have not even appeared in the conference championship game.
In the 2000s.
Yeah.
And they're NFC teams?
Yeah. Can you and Julie name them?
Tyler, I'll go first. I know.
Just name one team. I'll tell you if you're right or wrong.
Okay. Well, so Washington hasn't been.
That is correct. Tyler, you have a name.
I would go with the Detroit Lions.
All right, that is also correct. All right, now we got two more to go.
Tampa.
That is also correct.
Okay.
And can you fill in the last one?
So wait, this is in the 2000s, you said?
Yeah.
Tampa didn't play in the NFC title game in 2002?
Well, I guess they did.
They won the Super Bowl. They would have had to.
I guess it's been since then, yeah.
Yeah, oh, that's right. So Tampa's not.
Okay, that makes more sense.
Right.
My next guess would have been the Dallas Cowboys.
That is right.
Oh, man.
That's right. Dallas Cowboys.
Nothing since 1996, as we know.
Yes. Yeah.
That's
so
crazy.
The NFC is so wide open. You know, I said we got 12 teams. I think Philadelphia's one of the better ones, but
yeah.
Now you got this Minnesota and then Dallas and then Buffalo. You know, I think it's I think if they come out of it 2-1, they'd be what, Joe? They'd be 4-3 then, right? No, they'd be 5-3, right?
Yes, 5-3.
I think that's, you know, then the trouble is you got those next three. But I think 5-3, I think realistically that's as good as it's going to be, right?
You survive the road trip. That's the way that it goes. Speaking of surviving, I'm scraping by the skin of my teeth when it comes to fantasy. Like, I'm squeaking by like, fractional margin points. You know, and I need to find a way to be a little bit more consistent. That's why I am going to be asking Jim McCormick of ESPN on the other side of this breather what I should be doing, who I should be looking at, who I should be adding. And if you have fantasy questions regarding your lineup this week, you should line up now at 610-632-0975. Starts and sits and waiver ads and things like that. All kinds of good stuff. Jim can point you in the right direction there. We'll talk to him next. It'll be very exciting. 610-632-0975, your phone number to join the conversation. A lot of good stuff going on regarding the quarterback conversation. Kyle Allen and Teddy Bridgewater kind of shifting the paradigm. Should you pay quarterbacks or not? And, of course, the matchups that worry you or that you feel great about when it comes to the Eagles in Minnesota. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to hop aboard the conversation. It's Pat Callahan, Joe Torty. This Week in Pro Football rolls on from the fabulous brand spanking new Parks Casino Sportsbook right here on 97.5 The Fanatic in This Week in Pro Football.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right. Callahan and Torty back here this week in pro football. 97.5 The Fanatic. National Football League. I was looking at one of the big screens here at the Parks Casino Sportsbook. Did you see those Seahawk uniforms last week in their game against the Rams? The lime green jobs. Now, you're not going to tell me that you like them, are you, Joe? You're not going to think about it, are you?
Not a fan. I am a fan of the lime green. I'm a fan of the lime green with, like, trim. You know what I mean? Yeah. Where you're accenting some stuff. Just really going for it. Yeah. I applaud the effort.
They were unbelievable. I mean, there had to be some people who sustained eye damage watching that. I mean, God almighty. But it just got me to thinking, though. So, yeah, the Eagles, you know, they periodically they tried out these all-black jobs, you know, like they're some sort of New Zealand football
rugby team.
Why don't the Eagles bring back the Kelly Green as a third jersey?
Because it's a loser era of football. I never want to see that again.
Get out of here.
I'm sorry. This is the Super Bowl era. This is the new norm. Kelly Green, they never won anything.
Well, they have one of the greatest defenses of all time wearing those Kelly Greens.
I get it. And one of the most inept offenses that couldn't get anything done. And
so you think a uniform has something to do with how a team actually performs?
You're talking to a hockey goaltender, man. I am incredibly superstitious. I'm the wrong one to be talking to about that one. If somebody gets their hand inside my catch glove before I do, it's going to be a bad time for me that day. So I'm the wrong one to talk to about that, for sure.
I don't know. I think that McCormick with us.
He is. He's ready.
Jimmy McCormick.
I'm sure he'll weigh in.
Jim McCormick can weigh in on this, the ESPN Fantasy Analyst, presented by Concrete Cutting Systems. Good morning, Jim.
How's it going, guys?
All right, pal. Listen, we're just weighing in here. Do you think that, your thoughts on the Seattle Seahawks lime green phosphorus uniforms?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's tough to get nostalgic for neon, right? it's also like, I listen to you guys. It's also like people are always calling for those Iverson era, like Sixers jerseys. And I kind of feel a little bit like, I'm not sure exactly that I want to bring back an era that really was defined by like a 55 win season. So like,
all right, you are. Listen, before we get to the phones here, I just want to ask you, was there some sort of hotline set up, do you think, by ESPN for Sony Michel owners Thursday night who watched Brandon Bolden and then Tom Brady's scarf three rushing touchdowns for New England?
It's like one ongoing troll this entire season with Michel. I mean, if it's not Burkhead one week, it's Tom Brady the next. It's crazy.
And you can never tell how they think about it, guys. They have the audacity to draft one in the first round. Still don't care.
I know.
They still don't care. It was all that was one big misdirection.
It's amazing. Tim in San Diego has a fantasy question for Jim McCormick. So we're going to get Jim locked in, and then we'll go to Tim in San Diego. What's going on, Tim? You're on with Jim.
Hey, love your show, guys. Hey, Jim. It seems like Todd Gurley's not going to be 100% all year. It didn't seem like he was right at the beginning of the year, and now he's. Looks like he's out tomorrow. Do you think Darrell Henderson has any value this rest of the year?
He could. I mean, it looks like Brown's been the one getting all the reps, like, and that was the case. Like, they paid, I know they drafted Henderson with a lofty price, but they also paid Malcolm Brown $6 million to stay around. So I'm going to guess Brown is actually the guy who's ahead of him so far, just because I'm not exactly sure they're going to just, like, leapfrog this guy usage-wise over a productive Malcolm Brown.
Yeah. But do you think Brown is a viable play tomorrow against San Francisco, Jim?
Yeah, I mean, like, again, like we talk about, like, kind of what a wasteland sometimes running back can be. Like, and you're talking about San Francisco, you're picking between two or three backs. So at least I think you know that with L.A., there's some consolidation with Brown.
Jim, one of the things that we've been trying to work out and we've been trying to figure out all season long, at least I have, is if you didn't get Travis Kelce or Tyreek Hill, you're still trying to get a piece of that the wide receiving weapons in Kansas City. Can't figure anything out. Hardman gets negative points or 30 points, and Robinson gets all the targets or no targets. What do you make of the way that Kansas City is, especially considering the injury to Pat Mahomes?
Well, I mean, like, I think Mahomes is fine. I don't think I would fit, like, kind of factor that in too much to fantasy numbers. But, I mean, at the same time, wasn't this kind of concentration what we got last year, right? I mean, you ended up getting Damian Williams, had that incredible run, so we're still looking for them, for someone to really shine from the backfield. On a per-touch basis, McCoy's been the best back if you want to, like, pick a horse for the long run. But so far, that looks like it's kind of week by week. But you're talking about the receiving core. Honestly, last year wasn't that different. One week you'd be Chris Conley. One week Sammy Watkins would actually step up. It looks like he's, you know, back to being like the bad Sammy Watkins, it looks like, right? He's wide receiver 55 since week two. So honestly, it's a consolidated, concentrated offense. What I mean by that is that we can trust Kelce, we can trust, you know, Tyreek Hill, but this doesn't feel that much different than some of those, like, Drew Brees Saints offenses, where we were, like, you know, guessing between, like, Kenny Stills and Devery Henderson. I think sometimes this stuff happens where they don't have a tier 2, 3, 4 the way that normal teams do.
Yeah. Talking with Jim McCormick of ESPN. Jim, and the top 50 running backs in the NFL right now, the top 50 rushers in the NFL this year, 8 are quarterbacks. And you can just see that, I was saying earlier in the show, that sometimes they're running for their life, but it's such an added element. Are you a big Kyler Murray fan tomorrow against the just seemingly lost Atlanta Falcons?
Yeah, I mean, it looks like the Falcons, they haven't been right, I guess, since 28-3, it looks like. But they're really reeling. I've picked a couple spots where I thought they would bounce back, and they haven't. Like, whether it's that Tennessee game, they got destroyed. They couldn't handle the shootout in Houston. So, yeah, this looks like an up-and-down game. Somebody made a joke, and they called the Arizona offense the horizontal air raid, which is kind of true right now. It's kind of looking like that Chip Kelly, DeMarco Murray, like, horizontal offense a little bit. But at the same time, if you watch these last couple games, Murray gets designed runs at the goal line. Like, you're talking about this added rushing element, Pat. That's what you're talking about, is this rushing upside. I think he could have a bad passing day and still give you a really good fantasy day, and that's kind of the cheat code that we talk about.
Speaking with Jim McCormick of ESPN, fantasy analyst, one of the more uneven fantasy quarterbacks this season has been Russell Wilson. And for a lot of people, he's been quarterback 2. For example, I have Lamar Jackson. It's tough for me to unplug him. But when you look at Russell Wilson, you see some of these games where he just explodes for 40-plus points, and then some games where he doesn't break 20. What do you make of the inconsistency in Seattle, and do you consider Wilson a guy that you can count on?
Oh, yeah, I definitely do. I mean, look, like, the variance, obviously, is touchdowns. He had, you know, he's had, you know, in Arizona, we just talked about them, but he was, like, super accurate, and he, like, was theoretically playing well. There was a couple bad drops. There was a drop touchdown that game, but, I mean, like, one more touchdown, we're talking about another 20-point game. I know you could do it in a lot of ways, but I think the thing with Wilson is, yeah, he's somewhere in between, right? He's not a 15 to 20-point fantasy player, and he's not going to be a 40-point every week, but the point is, Like just what Pat was saying, there's only so many guys who have the ability to give you a week-changing, like, result. Like, Matt Ryan, maybe every once in a while, but you're going to be hard-pressed for him to be like, I won my week because of Matt Ryan. Russell Wilson can win you your week, and I think that's the kind of point of having a quarterback like him. So you kind of have to embrace it a little bit. It's kind of like the volatility that gets you there in a good way also can hurt you in the bad way. So you kind of have to embrace the variance sometimes with these players.
Yeah. I think Wilson, he leads the league in touchdown passes too.
Yeah, he can just win you your week. So I don't know if you can ever overthink it with him.
Yeah. One other thing, Jimmy, is that my next to last pick in my draft was the New England defense DST.
That was a good one.
Right? Yeah, and so my question, Jim, is is that not without a doubt defense and special teams the most absolutely variable pick you possibly could make. I mean, exactly.
We trusted Chicago. Right? Everybody drafted Chicago, and that means you're like not everybody drafted them, but those who did draft them are pot committed, right?
Right.
They have to keep playing that hand. So they played them last week in London and had to get a really bad game out of it, right?
Right.
So you don't get to choose your matchup. Now, look, congratulations to you and to anybody who got to the pass, because right now they would be the number 8 running back in fantasy football. They would be the number 1 tight end. They would be the number 6 receiver.
Yeah.
Like that's how much they're scoring. They would be the number 5 quarterback.
Yeah, and it's like, outside. The influence, I'm saying, on scoring and fantasy leagues, it is.
Touchdown, too. Yeah. Like, look. Yeah, it's all really volatile. Do you remember a couple years where, like, the Eagles weren't even that great on defense, but they would have, like, 9 or 10 touchdown returns?
Right.
Those
just
early years. And they were the number 1 fantasy defense. And then the next year, they'd be 12 or 13.
Yeah.
It's a very volatile. If somebody offered me the world for New England, I would consider it. But I think it's just a fun season to enjoy.
Yeah, if you got them.
If you ended up getting them, exactly. Then the rest of us are scraping the barrel with the other. Oh, yeah, it looked like they'd be great on paper defenses.
The Colts.
Exactly. The Colts. So, let's look there in Indianapolis, because it seems like that team on the field wins and losses is starting to stabilize a little bit as their fantasy interests kind of go in flux, where you can count on T.Y. Hilton and not a whole lot else, whereas it looked like there were a couple of different routes that you could go in terms of their fantasy interest when Andrew Luck was the quarterback. What do you make in New England, or Indianapolis, rather? Are there guys that are maybe under-owned that you're looking at on the Colts, perhaps, that could be useful?
It's really tough. I mean, look, you look at this line between, T.Y. Hilton, and there's like five more guys, but it's Paris Campbell, Deion Kane, Zach Pascal. I mean, these are new names for people, right? Like, these are just guys that are on the depth chart and all getting all these snaps. It's almost like Baltimore. Past Charlie Brown in Baltimore, it's just a bunch of guys getting a lot of routes. The Willie Sneeds
right.
You know, so long story short, that thing that's happening with the Colts, the same thing's happening at tight end. They're getting 50% of the snaps, 6% of the routes between Doyle and Ebron. I mean, look, the pie just got a lot smaller when Luck left. Yeah. Like, you know, there's not going to be as many of these 350-yard, three-touchdown games where everybody gets to eat and everybody's high-fiving. There's going to be a lot of these games where they're grinding out their games. And look, Brissett's only averaging, six-point-something yards per attempt. So I think it's intentionally conservative. I think Reich is great. I think it's one of these examples where they're playing good real football, but bad fantasy football. I think Marlon Mack's the only guy you want, really. And then T.Y. Hilton's like a variant kind of wide receiver 2-3.
Jimmy McCormick, how does a McCormick groupie find you on ESPN and track you down and just pay attention to every single word you type?
There you go. I don't know if I'd advise that part, especially during Sixers games. But it would be @_ Jimmy McCormick. And then I'm doing NBA stuff for ESPN as well, but mostly NFL so far. And, just talking about I have to talk about the Colts receivers every week, so it's fun because I get to talk about like who we. So it's a lot of dart throws in fantasy. That's why if you ever can on your fantasy team, this is the type of season. Just a piece of advice: try to consolidate. If you've got two or three receivers that you can't fit into your flex, try to consolidate that into one big guy. You only get one chance to win your fantasy league.
All right, very good, Jimmy. Appreciate it very much, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right, guys.
All right,
there he is. We've gone over. I'm excited to talk to Jim McCormick. I had lots of fantasy questions. Right. So we got more coming up next. This Week in Pro Football returns on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Callahan and Torty back here this week in Pro Football. We got 7 minutes, Joey Bags, to do a NFL preview presented by the good folks at Evolution Energy. Torty, so busy. He's got, communion, first Holy Communion coming up. He's running around here. He's not focused. And this is what happens, when you serve too many masters, JT. But, all right, here we go. New Orleans at Jacksonville. Jacksonville, are you surprised? 1.5. The Minshew is a 1.5-point favorite here.
Very surprised by this line, considering the way that you pointed out they haven't lost games with Teddy Bridgewater under center. Minshew magic must be alive and well in the Sunshine State.
Yeah, I'm surprised at this, too. I really like the Saints. We're going to get that the top five with you, Sal. There's something. The Saints got something going on here. Just one word about Washington-Miami. Since 2008, somebody created a stat called the FPI matchup quality, whatever the hell that is. It only struck me because it's a scale of 1 to 100. That is in a given matchup. This game is a 0.0, as Dean Wormer would put it.
Wow.
0.0.
Not what you'd call quality.
Yes. So if you're if you're like you in the TV, if you're calling the game and you get assigned there, you better get that resume firmed up, I think. Huh?
Yeah, you're very low on the totem pole. There are little fish hopping up at you.
How about we had a lot of talk this week between Nolan, especially about Seattle and Cleveland. I like Seattle here. I understand all of those you know, intangibles point towards Cleveland coming off a horrendous loss on national TV. But, boy, it's tough to get bet against Seattle.
It really is. You talk about teams in the NFC that are powerhouses. Seattle's one of the teams that you have very few questions about so far in the season. But not an easy spot to go on the road in Cleveland.
I know, but Seattle reminds me of the Eagles. In a tough, tough spot, they are going to give their best shot. So I kind of like them there. San Francisco is at the Rams. Rams, no Gurley, no Talib. And no Clay Matthews. I don't like this matchup at all for the home team.
No, I don't either. And San Francisco, we joked about it earlier. They're one of the best teams in the NFC. Like they deserve to get some respect. I don't know if you consider them the favorite to get to the Super Bowl at this point. So many good teams out there, but they do deserve some kudos.
No, they have entered the conversation out of nowhere. Nobody saw it really coming. They're averaging 200 yards a game on the ground. So that is a serious running game. They have their Pittsburgh is at the L.A. Chargers, or I should say, the L.A. Chargers are going to play host to a 20,000 Steeler fans. but ordinarily, I would like Pittsburgh here, but boy, they're back down to their third-string quarterback again.
Yeah, and backup running back as well. Like, there's just nothing going on in Pittsburgh offensively right now, which is a shame because the defense is really, really cooking. Offensively, they don't have anything. Reminds you of the Chicago Bears days of old.
Chargers coming off one of their usual clunkers that they play twice a year. They were terrible against Denver last week. Usually they'll respond. They won't do that two games in a row. I kind of like the Chargers here. And then, of course, you got the Monday Nighter is an undervalued game. All of a sudden, these Detroit Lions have come out of nowhere at 2-1-1. And they're hosting a Packer team coming off one of their best victories in years.
Well, I mean, you talk about a signature win for Green Bay. There were a lot of people, myself included, counting Green Bay solidly out of that game. And they come and just smack Dallas in the mouth. But you talk about being under-respected in the same way that San Francisco has been. Detroit has been a team that hasn't been able to generate any love this entire way. So I think that we have to start paying attention to them, at least as a relevant team, if not one of the better teams in the NFC.
Well, but that's well-deserved, not paying attention to Detroit.
They have earned it.
The ignorance, because they just have stunk year in and year out. I haven't won any since 1957.
Wow.
But the Lions, though, playing with a little bit of swag this year. Good running game, underrated player in Kerryon Johnson. So that's going to be a good Monday night game.
Yeah, Kenny Galladay is going to be one of the top five receivers in the league at one point during his career. He's that good.
All right, the preview presented by Evolution Energy here on 97.5. The Fanatic, one nugget here, Joey T, talking about your Washington Redskins and the fact that, who is it? It was reported, I'm going to find it in here somewhere, Ed Werder. Ed Werder dropped his nugget about how someone close to Dan Snyder said that any list of candidates that he's got would include Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin, who's from Eastern Virginia.
Yes.
You know, given William the fact the Steelers are clearly in a transition year, Joe, and do you see it possibly now? This is a year where the Steelers might say, sure, Mike, you can head off and we'll start over.
It costs your first-round pick if you're Washington. So you have to decide, and that's going to be a really, really good pick. The Steelers traded theirs away for Minka Fitzpatrick. They've got to get one back. You've got to decide if you're Dan Snyder. You want Mike Tomlin? How badly do you want him? I do believe, by the way, that for a top five, top six pick in the draft, that Mike Tomlin could be had. I think that is the case.
Well, I mean, I think it's a pretty safe bet, Joe, that Washington is going to have that.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any doubt. I'm trying to look here. I see Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin is right now third among NFL active coaches in total wins. He's got 133 wins, 73 losses coming into the year anyway. Almost a .650 winning percentage.
It's a good coach.
So, yeah, something to be said for that. He is a good coach, and I think I think even with the Steelers, they've only had three coaches in their entire existence. Since 1970 or whenever Chuck Noll got there, it might be good now. Time maybe to clean things up a little bit and move on.
Well, especially considering the fact that he is such a good coach, got to two Super Bowls, won one early, and hasn't really threatened since.
You're right.
I think the Steeler fans kind of saw the second golden age of Steelers football when you got Antonio Brown and Ben Roethlisberger and Le'Veon Bell and no Super Bowl appearances with that group. So you have to say that's kind of a failure situation for the Steelers.
All right, we got hour three coming up. We got 45 minutes of hour three before Temple football. We got Sal Powell coming up.
Yes.
We got the dreaded pick segment, Joey T. We got to step it up.
There's no comeback without the fall down to begin with. It's Pat Callahan and Joe Torti on This Week in Pro Football.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.